Let's peel away the layers and focus on you. Ooh, what's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Talent to Stand Ya.
Pleasant good afternoon and welcome to Talent to Stand Ya. Y'all thought I wasn't coming on, eh? Hi, I right here. Anyways, I know we are a little bit behind schedule today, but we're going to just jump right in. Am I guest, Brittany? Am I guest there? Okay, good stuff. Okay, so we got to really just go hard and heavy and quick right into it. So I noticed that y'all like when Talent to Stand Ya touch the things that I don't like to touch too much, which is one, religion, and two, politics. So we're going to go on the political train for right now, for, you know, for whatever time we got remaining on today's show. To help me along the way, I have Paradise Abaco. Paradise Abaco, are you there? Brittany, I can't hear Paradise Abaco.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I'm here. And Clement Shea. Clement, are you there?
Yes, I'm here standing.
Okay, and I got Clement now. I didn't have you on, because listen now, I remember you from way back when in St. Anne's, and you was Lil Brave from then. you was little tough from when you was in primary school.
I still brave, but I think I get a little bit more polished and have a little bit more decorum now.
Little bit more decorum, eh?
Yes, yeah.
Because listen now, you was like the hardest light-skinned fella I did know back when, way back when.
Yeah, but I'm a family man now. All of us learning pains and growing pains and learning experiences.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so now we're entering quickly, fastly, or maybe we're already here in the political season. And, you know, I'm going to coin this today's show, who should get the nomination? Okay, so we got to go. We're running a little late. And as everyone knows, I think it was last week or early in the week, can't remember, because, you know, I could be 100 years old. Lyle Bethel, Pastor Bethel, had sent in a letter talking about, you know, we heard that Sabas was interested in politics. And, you know, it caused a whole lot of trauma, and everything else. And he wrote a letter. And then, of course, Sabas would have responded to him. And so I'm like, you know what? Let me see what the people got to say. So before I play some of these voice notes and read some of the comments, and those who are listening right now, how do you feel about Sabas entering politics? And I got several people named who we're going to talk about if they should get the nomination or not, by the way. We're just starting with Sabas today. So if you want to be a part of this conversation today, you could text me 422-4796. That's 422-4796. You could give me a call, 323-6232. That's 323-6232. So we could take our own poll. Should Sabas be able to enter politics? And will, Clement, how you feel about it?
First of all, Stanley, thanks for having me on the show. As it relates to Sabas being allowed to run on whichever political ticket that he chooses or he wants to run on, My take is this, and I think I made it clear on social media. I think it's a non-issue. I don't think people should make such a big deal about it, because here's the thing: if anybody's watched Sabas over the years, from where he started, those who do know and don't know, and to where he is today, I think it's a phenomenal achievement.
Okay,
I've known Sabas for years, and without having to go down his background, his history as to where he came from, it was a struggle for him coming up. And he's where he is today. He's provided jobs. He's provided opportunities. And, you know, the gambling situation is a touchy subject. And for me, this is what I would say. If Sebastian Martin wants to run frontline politics after so much that he's achieved, I think for him, he should if he wants to. Who wants to support him? I should support him. He's a Bahamian. He has no criminal records. He's an entrepreneur. He's a philanthropist. And in my estimation, I've known him to be good character. Aside for the people's the view of the public of his the number game,
right.
I don't think there's much you could lay down and said he's bad for politics, other than he's a number guy. Like I said, he's done so many things in this country for people, helping people, and of course helping himself and his family. Who doesn't want to help their family? So for me, if he wants to run, I think he should run.
Okay, Paradise Abaco, how you feel about that?
I feel that when it comes to your past or I think there should be consequences to past transgressions. I understand. It seems that everybody's afraid to broach the subject because the person we're talking about is extremely rich. And I've noticed that. People are afraid to discuss it because they're afraid they might be victimized or whatever. But it's important to be honest. The number thing was a past transgression that was allegedly illegal.
Okay. And
allegedly. I don't know what's the constitution and all that stuff, but your past is the...
Okay,
so that everyone is afraid to discuss it.
Okay,
that's scary in itself.
So, okay, here's something what someone wrote. And listen now, you know how before I come on, they say the views of Sandy Davis' views is not the does not reflect the Guardian. Okay, so these things that I am reading does not reflect Sandy Davis or tell it to Sandy. I am just reading what the people send me. Okay, so someone says, no, he should not. They are alleging, and they say, and quote, old. Okay, I'm even scared to say these things. Okay, they said, old drug businessman, carry y'all, beep, girl, bye. That's why crime is high, because y'all Bahamians too, like, legitimize corruption.
I look at it like this. This is my point. I mean, in the Bahamas, we tend to play blind and play,
So what are you afraid of, Paradise Abaco, and what you think could happen?
We keep on thinking domestically, just locally. But this particular person will have to go abroad and represent us internationally. And say what you want, say. When you on a global platform, they do scrutinize your past. They do scrutinize whatever. And... they will look at that and probably say, "Oh."
So, well, what is the past that they're going to scrutinize? The fact that he's a numbers man.
No. The fact that back in the day, this country was known as a country for sale by international counterparts because so much corruption. And I'll end it here. Most black countries look; they tend to put these people in power. Tend to the least be in power, and it seems to be. Corruption that follow in the wake, and persons who are connected, like the gentleman who's talking now. Yes, of course, he may not be, he can't really say certain things, but persons who are not in that particular clique or who know these people, just say normal folks, of course can't.
Give him a chance to respond.
Stanley, let me say this, because obviously the gentleman does not know me. I hold and I carry no water for nobody. Stanley can tell me I'm one of the most plain speaking people in the
Everybody
world.
Everybody said that. Everybody has the same thing.
Let me say this. I hear you use the word past transgressions. I know of no past transgressions of the gentleman.
I've known,
and that's why you have to use
the word. This is why I say people play blind in the country.
Stanley, can I have a word? I use the word allegedly.
I said allegedly too.
Paradise, let him talk.
My thing is, using the word past transgressions, I have known nothing about this gentleman being in any court settings where he's been charged with anything, a criminal. He's talked about the number, Sabas, and I don't want to mention about Sabas. Let me just talk about the Sabas, as far as I know, he didn't regularize gambling. The PLP government did that. Not Sabas, he's a part of the number community, but he vied for legal for regulation. Let the people decide if they want him, they'll still.
And this is why corruption and stuff will continue to happen when you have people like this one who carry water for certain persons.
Okay.
What
is this on me today?
I don't care. Clearly, you don't know me. I don't carry water for no one but
guys. Okay. All right. Brittany.
I just can't.
How you can mute the both of them for 1 second? Okay.
I'm not going to castigate somebody.
Okay, guys. I think the issue here is, okay, we know a few years ago they had the referendum about gambling. The Bahamian people were under the assumption that, you know, depending on the results of that referendum, however you want to pronounce it, that it would not legalized. The Bahamian people voted against it, and then it was still legalized. And so I think people have concerns.
Regularized.
So yes. So people have concerns because, okay, will this be a fair thing if he was to enter the political arena?
Based on the law, he should not be able to. And they would say, well, I divest my this, I divest my that. But we won't never know the truth of it. But based on the law as it stands, I was reading up on it, anybody who has any direct or indirect affiliation with the numbers,
can I speak?
It should not be allowed to be in politics as far as being a member of parliament, a cabinet minister. They should not even be allowed to run based on the law.
Okay.
I don't know how it would play out now.
And listen, audience, anyone who's listening, what's your 5 cents on this? You can send me a message, 4224796. That's 4224796. Do you agree with Mr. Shea he should enter, or do you agree with Paradise Abaco that he should not enter politics? You could also give me a call, 323-6232. Go ahead, Paradise.
Listen, and this is what I continue to say, why Bahamian corruption will continue to happen, playing blind. We all know about the referendum and what was said by the politicians when they said, okay, we'll go by whatever the people say. That's why we spent all our millions of dollars putting it on. But when the people spoke, they switched it. So I'm saying, even though what's this, Mr. Shea? Even though he said what he said just now, just like Like I was saying before, they said what they said. The Bahamian people came out and voted, and whatever happened behind closed doors happened, and everything was switched.
Uh-huh.
He just quoted the law just now. Who says that? Yes, the law said this, but behind closed doors, certain lobby, whatever, in that law be switched and whatever. That's the only. See, that's what I'm afraid about. With these closed door sessions and.
Okay, so
Tanya,
Perry Gladstone Christie turned around and said, "Oh, it was an opinion poll." Perry Gladstone Christie, he decided against it. The number boys benefited from it.
Okay, guys, let me read. I'm not saying nothing because, once again, victimization is real in this country. Okay, hold on. Let me read the messages that are coming in. Okay, 1 second. Okay, so a text message came in saying the law clearly says no one associated with a gambling or number operation is allowed to sit in the cabinet or become a member of parliament. Okay, then another person says the bank still won't take the gambling shop money. How will he then tell what his net worth is because he can't truly quantify it? And is he allowed to go to the U.S.? Man, y'all say Brave couldn't go to the U.S. and Brave is go to the U.S. Listen, anyhow, let me stay focused. Okay. Okay, another message says, hold on now, here we go, hold on. Okay. Okay, new ideas is always good in politics. He's well-traveled, and I'm certain he's seen a lot of things abroad that could work in the Bahamas and empower us as a people. Okay, so I think people are looking at it from the standpoint that he's a business person, he's a businessman, and he built his business, quote-unquote, from scratch. He's been successful in different ventures to prove this, but I am guessing that he is definitely in the top five employers in the Bahamas. So I'm thinking that people are looking at it from that standpoint. Paradise, do you think he could bring some good ideas to the table because of his business ventures and knowledge?
We have politicians who are well-traveled, who go to different countries, see how different countries operate. This particular iteration of this particular party, they travel almost, or they were traveling almost every other week. So, of course, they were exposed to different countries, but yet nothing has changed. And for 25 years, or for how long we were independent, we had politicians who are well-versed, who went to college and universities in London and all these other countries, and they never implemented certain strategies that they have seen. So I say all that to say, just because someone who may had a hand up and being able to be exposed, I don't see that translating in a betterment for the normal, everyday behemoth.
Okay, we have a caller.
That's how I look at it.
Brittany, we have a caller. Where Brittany is now. Okay, we have a caller. As soon as Brittany lets the caller through.
Stanya, I say this. Anybody, me, you, and Jordan, anyone can be a contributor to bring about change. I don't necessarily think you need to be a politician to put out good ideas. The only problem is government has shown over the years, all governments, that if it ain't their idea or it ain't their baby, it's not a good idea. Jonathan can come with an idea right now, could be life-altering, life-changing, even nation-building. Like change a whole different concept of the way you do things in a nation. Because he's not a politician, because he's not aligned with a party, or because he's not aligned with a particular group of people, oh, that's a bad idea. But if it's shared amongst those people who can make decision-maker, oh, it's an excellent idea. So anybody, I think, can make a meaningful contribution, okay, because the country belongs to us.
Hold on one second. Call back again, please. I'm sorry we missed a call. Could you call back? All right, go on, Mr. Shea.
And I'm just saying, the question was about whether you think Mr. Bastian can make a good contribution to the country or what he can help to build or whatever because of his being able to be well-traveled. I'm saying any one of us can do it, me, you, Jonathan. But unfortunately, when you're not aligned sometimes with certain parties or the party, your ideas are just fruitless. It's not a good idea.
We have a caller call coming. Okay, hello, caller.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, go ahead.
How you doing?
I'm good, darling. What's your 5 cents?
My 5 cents is that I believe if it wasn't for corruption in this country, these number of men could have really never have no business that they portraying that they were, you know, they were just all them, you know, miraculously just built up, right? Now we know nothing. Our politicians only do things that they benefit from. Right, and it's being played out right inside our face. Because if the number man is allowed, or even I'm being recommended as the prime minister is encouraging to become a member of parliament, despite knowing all of the situations, it tells me that these people, when the said prime minister was the deputy prime minister, I think when we had the some referendum, right? It knows what they was doing from way back then, right?
Uh-huh.
With them clause where they say only this one, only that one could become a part of this situation. Because why? It's the same type of attitude where it either goes to the BLB or it goes to the FLM or it goes right back to both of them. But at the end of the day, right, the corruption is too strong in this country, and we if the good gentleman allow in my opinion becomes a member of parliament, right?
Mm-hmm.
It only sends the message that crime do pay in the Bahamas, right? Because why we like to play blind, like some I think yeah, texting and saying how we just try to justify immorality in this country
and corruption.
Right, mm-hmm. And it's wrong because you see, water them with selling they little weed on the side of the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
Upward movement for them if they don't really get connected to a politician. You guys have a nice day.
Okay, thank you, darling. Okay, we have another caller coming through. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Okay, talk up a little bit.
The gentleman was on previously when he said he seen nothing. Or allegedly, in the Bahamas, it was illegal for the number racket. It was illegal. That's a fact. That no hyperbole. That's a fact. So when you say you see nothing, you are justifying something that the whole world know that was wrong. Now it's not wrong. Now we accept that, but it was wrong. And if anybody who were to contravene the laws of our land intentionally, knowingly for years and years. You should not be rewarded. Like you say, crime shouldn't be seen to be paid. To challenge crime, you shouldn't be seen where crime is rewarded. Despite how you may feel with it now.
All right, Carla, thank you so much.
No, we cannot justify these things, and shouldn't be rewarded for those things. I understand that he has a contribution such as many people, but you should have to pay, you should pay some sort of reparation for your crime. Not crime, but he never charges for, but for the breaking of the law.
Okay, thank you so much, Carla.
Stanya, I don't, the gentleman who just was giving his contribution, I don't recall Jonathan or myself saying we don't see anything wrong. I never said I didn't see anything wrong. And he keeps referring back to breaking the law and committing crime. I'm trying to figure what law is he talking about. Is he talking about the law before regularization, or is he talking about the law now? Because I understand it's regularized, it's recognized. I don't know what the fees are yearly or how they pay their fees. I know they have to pay something to the government. So we keep saying breaking the law and committing crime. You know, as it's done, when Pacey was doing it back in the day, yeah, that was illegal. And everybody and all the people was benefiting. But now as it's done, we can't call it crime no more. People getting, they pay check from Island Luck and from all these other incoming gaming houses. They do their 9 to 5 and they paying their bills and they doing NIB and they getting their contributions paid. And so right now, as it stands, it's a regularized business operating in the country. So, I don't understand why they keep saying committing crimes.
Okay, Brittany, could you play sound B, please? Random citizen B?
The answer is no. And because he's building in his current capacity, so there's no need for him to enter politics. He's done, he could do more as a private business entity than he can as a politician, having to toe party lines, not being a cabinet minister, just barely being a member of parliament. So he best just stay where he is and use his private wealth and bring forth England from that point of view. I don't think he might have good ideas, but his ideas are best executed underneath him and his vision, which he can do as a private business owner, not as a backbencher MP.
Okay. Okay, and I just got another message. Hi, Stanya. Within this current debate between your guests, I hear echoes of arguments made by American voters in the lead-up to the 2016 election. They viewed Trump as the business-minded leader who could lead America to greatness. He just bears out a common sense observation that business savviness does not correlate to political proficiency. Plus, there is the issue of ideology. Okay.
Stanley, let me just say this real quick. I think I need to clarify something because of the question you asked initially. Do I think personally he ought to run? Me personally, I don't think so. But you said, should he be allowed to run?
Right.
Him being allowed to run, if that's what he wants to do, go ahead, bro. Let your wings fly. He should run. Do I think he needs to? I don't think he should, and I don't think he needs to. I don't see the benefit for him. Okay, but if he wants to, he's allowed to, let him go. The people will decide. The people will decide.
Okay, good stuff. Okay, another text message. He is too deeply intertwined with the government. The Treasury rents many properties from him. So they're saying that pretty much that because he has, he rents out a lot of his buildings to the government. That's also another concern that they would have, that it's just too much. It's already intertwined. And so I think we've seen so much as people, and honestly asking people, and this is maybe a survey that I should also do on how they, perceive politicians in general, but pretty much they do not trust the politicians. They do not trust the politicians, the current main political parties. And I think because of where we have come from and what we have experienced, they are very skeptical about him entering politics. And, somebody had messaged and they said that, he already has money. And so, he won't be corrupt. Or listen, now I can't say if the man corrupt or if he could steal or whatever. That's seen into the future. But what I could tell you about people who have money, this is what I know. People who have money always want more money. Okay. No person, all rich people want more money. All right.
My grandfather always told me the powerful never will be powerless.
Exactly. So let's don't go there now. Let's don't go there. Brittany, play sound A, please.
Good
Good morning, everyone. Yes, this is a broadcast in preparation for my show.
That's me. That's me, Brittany. Oh, boy, tell you, Brittany. You see? Where are you? I ain't saying nothing anyway. We can come back to that one. Okay, so it's a yes, you're okay with it, Shay. And then, Anna, because you're going quiet, man. What's happening?
I don't think he should, but if he wants to, go ahead, so.
I'm here. I'm just listening. I say no. We have enough. We have less. I say no. I just simply say no.
So that's two no's, Daniel.
Well,
because transparency is dead lacking in this particular iteration of this government. I mean, this particular party, I think, is just going to get darker and more grim. Because I think all parties, if they want to make the average person believe more in politicians, they would be more transparent. And I see things getting transparent.
It's getting dirtier and dirtier. Dirtier and dirtier.
Still no FOIA.
Okay. Well, you know, I got a whole heap of messages inside my inside this phone and voice notes to play. And pretty much, actually, it went 50-50. It went down the line. There are some people who, like as the other text person said, that it kind of sounded where they're thinking or they're looking at it that, okay, he would run this as a business. There was another person who said that he is a smart person in terms of he's good at bringing, he may not be the smartest person, but he is good at bringing smart people and people who know what to do around him, which is a good thing. And that's a good leader, to tell you the truth. A good leader will surround themselves with people who, you know, who are experts and they take the advice. Now, mm-hmm. One concern for me, though, is that, you know, most people who own their own business and, you know, do their thing, they do their own thing. I don't know if he could be a team player, too. I don't know. I know if he could fall back.
I know for sure. If you have a team of 10 people and you are the smartest person in the room, you need to fire the whole team.
Well, that's true.
You can't have a team and you're the smartest person on the team in the room. If there's no one there to challenge your thinking, if there's no one there to challenge your vision, if there's no one there to challenge the map that you've put towards, then you need to fire the whole team. You don't need them.
Okay. Brittany played our last voice note, and I'm going to move on to the next person. Should this person get the nomination, but I could bring it up in a minute. Shay, I know you're playing.
Don't judge me,
Stanya. You know what? I could go on your show and talk and say no, and I could say yes. You say only one yes or no, but it's a yes or no question. First of all, Sabas entered gambling and he became very successful. I don't know how he, but I know from humble beginning he worked hard and he got his first set of money. I don't know how he get a second set, how he get to the top, but it's not my business. I feel like in politics, these people only getting there to be in, the only one getting politics to be another crooked MP. If he's going there just to be a crook, a next crook, it's best that he just stay in his gaming thing and just serve the people who like gambling. I feel like another fold to his to the yes is that yes, he can go. If he served the people that well and they love him, then he need to run for politics. He have a lot to contribute. He have plenty of money. If he's gonna put the money where his mouth is, I feel like he should be qualified to do it. Because the rest of them who there, they ain't giving the people nothing. They ain't doing the service, they do service to their constituent. And if he could contribute to his constituent, I think he would be a good candidate to go.
Okay, last one, Brittany. Last one.
We should not enter politics because this whole country is corrupt already, and he's already have enough. He has enough influence without being in parliament. So can you imagine the legislation and the foolishness that he would put in place to make sure that he continues to thrive? I think he has enough going on already. Give somebody else an opportunity.
Well, it's a scary throw in his hand. But I think it's a scary thing for Bahamians because, okay, the referendum, we were supposed, you know, then it became the opinion poll. right? Which was a slap in the Bahamian people's face. And then, okay, and then after that, it even though the Bahamian people said, hey, we don't want it, it still was regularized. So now persons are concerned about his hold and, you know, how powerful he is, the government.
People wanted a lottery, which would help more people. But they decided against that. Why would you decide against a lottery, which the government, that everybody pays into, and they can disseminate, opposed to have a couple individuals who garner all this wealth? Government, why would you go against that if you're not influenced by something?
And not only that, Jonathan, you can imagine that you could go into any gas station, any food store, any pharmacy, any barbershop, and buy a lottery ticket. Like everybody would be getting a piece of the pie.
Right. That to me, logically, it made no sense to me. Why would you go against if the people? Still to this day, something. And my thing is that my last point: why would you have a moratorium that only allowed a couple of people? Why not open it up to the market? Because at the end of the day, in business, all these hairdressers and barbershops in the marketplace, only the best will survive. So let's say you saturate the market with barbershops, everybody's not going to make it, and eventually the market is going to weed out the best anyway. So you have a moratorium on only allowing 5 or 6 or whatever individuals to amass all this wealth.
Yep.
That makes no... Why would you do that? Why...
Wouldn't you want to
empower more Bahamians rather than these 5 or 4 people?
At least with a national lottery, you would be able to, first of all, have new, maybe, I don't know how, let's say the pot was $1 million one weekend. At least you'd be able to create one. New persons with more wealth.
Exactly.
You also, right, on top of that, the person who sold the winning ticket, that store, that business, they get a portion. And then you spread it out. You also earmark some of the jackpot towards education, towards health, towards infrastructure. So if you were going to go against the referendum, you should just say, you know what, to hell with all that, let's just have a national lottery.
Exactly.
And anybody, you know, you remember when you had the panels in all these little stores, but they take the panels out?
Right.
Anybody who wants a panel, this is the fee. This is how much you got to pay. That would have been a better. That would have been a better way. You know.
What you say, Shea? You ain't got no water. How you go now? Cash water. What that thing was before?
I don't carry water for nobody.
Okay, down there. So let me say this, because I ain't got no government contract, so I can say these things. I don't think the Bahamian people are really ready for that conversation, because clearly it's still, whether or not it was the Bay Street Boys, the UBP, whoever it is, the voice said people, whatever it is, it's obvious that it is still just a few people who are benefiting from the Bahamas. Okay. And someone also said that Sabas is like a modern day Frankie Wilson. Okay. We have a caller. Okay. Caller, go ahead.
Good afternoon. Is that Clement Shea that's your guest also?
Yes, sir.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to hear you, but it's a pleasure to hear your voice here at home. But Clement, I'm glad to hear us having a reconversation intentionally about gambling and the national lottery. And I've been a proponent for a national lottery. I'm still a proponent for a national lottery. And the reason for it is because I remember as a child when I left in Agua, in fifth grade, and this was the late 90s then, I remember the first classroom that the teacher took me in Fort Lauderdale. Left in Agua as a little boy, mother sold her home to move to Fort Lauderdale for better education. And the computer teacher said, this classroom, a room full of computers, is provided by the Florida Lottery. I was amazed.
Wow.
First time me being exposed to a computer, coming from a small, quaint community like Machi Town. But here's a computer lab for fourth graders now, because I'm being placed back. And so for me, that was amazing to see what the National Lottery was providing in terms of educational infrastructure and so many other things that they do. We let all the Tyler Perry movies that we watch, the most recent one, Wedding Destination, funded by the Georgia Lottery. the lottery itself could have done far much more as a country than for us to just have done it where a few people benefit from it and we get whatever they give out or share out at whatever event. And so I'm a proponent for us still having the conversation for a national lottery and just figuring out what we could better do with these resources versus just gamble. If we were going to change it from the people's wishes, it should have been at least to benefit us all.
All right. Okay. And see, and that's something, thank you, caller. And that is something that, you know, as we enter this new season, the political season, that we need to really look at. And you know, Bahamians, listen, we need to stop being sheep too. Take a deeper look. Are the people that we are going to put forward or who are there now, are they really interested in progression? I mean, you know, let's take a look at even, you know, if we go into electricity, you know, come on now. In Iceland, they use the ice. Y'all trying to tell me all this sea and all this sun we got here, we still paying all these high things? You trying to tell me that there's no way that our electricity bill, that we can't use another form of energy, all this water that we have here? That's what we trying to say in 2025? So come on, are they really serious about making it better for Bahamian people? And then let me go into, you know, I like bring this person up. I'll do see somebody had one post. Shit, this could have been you had this post up. But anyways, be scared to call this my name. But, you know, he was, you know, he got everybody together. Now, I ain't saying I fought a man against a man. All I'm saying is that I did like what the man was saying, where it was empowering the Bahamian people. All the Bahamians got together. Then when I listened, he said that, okay, well, if I enter and I go in, then I could affect change better. And so he became a senator. Did he affect? As a matter of fact, I ain't even hear nothing about him, from him, you know, of any type of change or anything. But when he was on his own, he was doing his thing. So I think maybe what people are looking at, okay, Sabas is in a position that he already does a whole lot, right? We know that he does a lot for people as well. So we can't take that away from him. We know that he's an amazing business person. So, I mean, but can he not do this on his own? Or can he be more beneficial if in politics? And that's what it boils down to. Can he be more beneficial on his own? Just don't enter. You're already intertwined. You're renting out the government house. I mean, there's plenty power as it is.
Okay, you could still give. You could be a senior advisor to any government. I just don't see the benefit. It definitely won't be financial. I just don't see the benefit for him unless it's a notch under the belt to put on his resume. I really don't see the reason. If it's a deep desire, different story. If it's something you want to do as a child, different story. I just don't see the benefit of him wanting to enter frontline politics, considering all that he's accomplished so far at such a young age and what he's been able to do so far. I just don't see the benefit. I just don't. Yeah. But once again, if he wants to run, the people
will. He has a right to. And another thing we're talking about, and somebody brought this point up too, do persons who are interested in running in the constituency, do they actually go to the constituents in the area and speak with the people, or do they just say, oh, okay, well, this MP coming out, so let me ease on in there and let me see if I could run in that area? Do they fact check?
I saw someone on Facebook say, well, if he run in this area, not in child, why he ain't got a campaign? And I said to myself, how foolish could you be to think like that?
But that's what we do now. I mean, now, Shay, you remember?
Because he's Sabas. He don't have to. You have to go and
talk. But it's not only Sabas. So I'm talking about on the whole, because there's a lot of people who they go to this area, or they know
but,
that.
But a lot of these candidates are not even in there.
That's what I'm saying. They don't even live in there. Let's say they don't live there. But at least be familiar with it. Did you live there when you was younger or for a time period?
I think Marapat is the only one that I knew of that was literally in a constituency, live in a constituency, and ran for a constituency. There may be others. I can put my hand on Marapat specifically.
Well, yeah.
What typically happens is the leader or the party, they send someone to a particular, because you as the person who in the settlement don't really have a say, and it shouldn't be that way.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. Do we do that? We don't consult the constituency.
I know that the Free National Movement, they will send it. From what I've been watching over the last few times that I did, what they do is they send 4 or 5 people in one area. Everybody go on their own. And whoever gains the most traction, whoever gains the most feedback, then they narrow it down to 2, 3, whatever. And then the person who's left standing, who's getting the most feedback and the most bringing, the people said, we really want Johnny. Johnny seems to be the one, people are favorite. So they tell everybody, you know what? Well, you guys, Mary and Joseph and all, you all stand down. We can let Johnny hold this constituency.
Well, I'm happy you bring that up, Shay, because the next, you know, see, getting ahead of the tell it to Stanya show here. But another thing that came up with me speaking with people, with persons, was Michael Pintard. A lot of persons, they don't see, they, you know, because I was debating on who we should talk about with the nomination. And so it kind of segued into should Michael Pintard have gotten it versus Dr. Minnis. And what came out was that a lot of people did not feel as though Mr. Pintard, they just saw him as someone who does poetry and plays.
Okay. Here's my take on that. I am a supporter of the Free National Movement. Everybody knows that. Who knows? I have no voting power. I'm not speaking on behalf of the Free National Movement. I'm talking my own view. I will say this. As relates to Mr. Pintard and Dr. Minnis, and the leadership race was done democratically. I was at the convention. And he had defeated Dr. Minnis twice. I think the second time was probably a bit more first one. And when you talk to him, I'll put you like this. Watch this, Daniel. Let's just say for the sake of argument, the voting people in the Free National Movement wanted Dr. Minnis. The party itself said, hey, we got to give Doc another chance. We got to give it, come on, this Doc, man. And they did it. Fine. My consensus was this. The party may want you. The country ain't want you so. Okay? And I don't think Mr. Pintard was chosen because, oh, we can't take a chance putting Dr. Minnis because the people still have a bad taste in their mouth. Then they have Dr. Minnis, and they think about lining up in front of the food store and have medical orders. My thing is, Michael Pintard has been in the trenches. Okay, he's a poet. He's a screenwriter. He does screenplay. He speaks well. He speaks eloquently. He can resonate. He does resonate with a large portion of the populace. Okay, more geared towards more younger people, I guess. But he's reaching people here, there, and it is a new direction for him. It is a new position for him. And when you talk about, oh, he ain't never been prime minister. Bray was never a prime minister. Ingram was never a prime minister. It was on the job training. Everybody who became prime minister, who they say can't be a prime minister, Mr. Ingram, everybody when they became prime minister, it's on the job training. So I feel as if Mr. Pintard was the chosen leader. I stand with him. Stanley, the gentleman on the radio, Jonathan, if he was chosen leader for Free National, I would support him. So my thing is, like I said, Mr. Pintard, from I've seen him become leader, yes, it's been challenging. He's been facing all kind of adversary. Same thing with Loretta, was dragging Dr. Minnis all across the political floor, up and down. He still got the people to rally around him, and they supported him. My thing is, Mr. Pintard has been chosen as the leader, and my thing is, the people in the party are rallying around him. Yes, you still have some dissension. You have some people who left, some people who said, oh, this and that. My consensus is, he's reaching people. He has a lot of more work to do. He has a lot of more people to reach. He has a lot of messages he needs to get out to people. People have yet to see the best side of Mr. Pintard. And my thing is, don't worry about more negatives than positives. You're going to have more, he's not ready, than he's ready. My thing is, let your words become your action. Let your actions resonate with the people so they will be more convinced. You know something? We have to give Mr. Pintard.
This right now for Pintard Paradise, how you feel about it?
If they had a fair and a fair and democratic process.
It was, Jonathan. It was.
If they had a fair and democratic process, and the other candidate, Mr. Dr. Minnis, had a fair opportunity to run in, the people or the party chose him, and they chose Pintard, then I leave it at that, because I don't have no dog in none of the races. So I feel like if they did that, then...
Okay,
yeah,
okay, how is he now showing up? Do you think, does he have...
I'm seeing, at least based on my cameras and what I'm seeing a lot of persons who supported Dr. Minnis, like the strong generals. I see them on television stuff and these other places trying to sabotage. I feel like, what's happening, what I see is sad in a way. But I think is if the party chose a particular leader, support the leader. But I feel that because their particular candidate, Dr. Menes, is no longer in charge, they say they can burn the whole thing down. And that's what I see. I see certain particular generals who are high in the FNM. They're now trying to burn the whole ship down. And that's not going to work. That's not going to work if
they're going to move forward as a united
succeed against the PLP.
Well, listen,
in my opinion.
Y'all only saying, listen, there's a third party out here now, you know, and I can tell you all this. That third party is gaining a whole lot of traction. I am telling you, I spend most of the week voting this week because, I always send people DM. And there was a whole lot of people. So the COI is definitely gaining momentum. Okay, I have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You just got a few seconds left, sir.
Oh, I just chimed in earlier when I heard the gentleman speaking about the things that the Florida lottery and not a lottery did when he was in school in America, right?
Okay, speak up a little bit more, sir.
I said, I just chimed in when I heard the person speaking about what the lottery did in Florida with purchasing the computers. And I don't know what the subject of your talk is today, but you're talking about leadership now.
Okay, what was your 5 cents about the lottery?
Well, I've been a proponent of speaking about that since they came. In the exception, I was the one who's been telling people all you have to do is Google what the history of lottery means and what it does and what it's for to help the deficiencies of what the government doesn't do. It builds roads and hospitals and bridges and all that other sort of stuff. And I guess, you know, it's coming to fruition now that people are really getting the real true understanding of it. It's not about deifying any individual. And I told on the other show during the week that we need to stop idealizing individuals because they have pulled up the boots of the lorry's doing. If you just remember, they said that once they came into power, they would issue shares. Now, I've known Craig Flowers since I was 4 years old, growing up in Yellow Elder, playing on the golf course, Blue Golf Course. I grew up in Yellow Elder. Michael Pintat and I grew up in Yellow Elder, and we always went to government schools. You see what I'm saying? We pulled up ourselves, and we went off to college because we were brought up by single parents.
I don't want to cut you off. What is your name?
My name is Dennis Bethel. I'm a regular contributor to the shows in the day.
Okay. I'm going to turn it over to the producer so she can get your number. But because I want to hear the rest of what you're saying, but it is after 2, so I'm going to have to come off there. I gotta wrap it up. So I'm going to let the producer take your name and number, okay?
So you're going to call me, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay, yes, because it's after 2, and you already know Dwight. Listen, you know Dwight like all, okay? And that's another caller on this line, Brittany? That's another caller? Oh, I was just going to say, I won't get in trouble. Me and Dwight done row today, so I can't row no more. Okay, all right. So definitely this conversation, we're going to have to continue this on another day. But there's a whole lot going on, and, you know, for me, I just want persons who really look out for the Bahamian people. My daughter and I had a conversation where we were talking about, you know, the rich getting richer and then the poor getting poorer, the elimination of the middle class and the lower class or whatever you want to call it. And so my daughter said, well, Mommy, it doesn't even make sense as a rich person to even do that because those are the people who help you. We're all connected. This is who come into your stores. This is who you giving services to. So if they ain't got no money, then at some point connected, and we just need to really move away. I mean, come on now, politicians, we already know what the issues, and this across all parties, we already know what the issues are. Okay, we know what the issues are. We know that that education needs to be improved. We know that we have immigration issues. We know the health system needs to be improved. We know that electricity bills killing the people. Let's work together. Okay, stop the foolishness. Okay, everybody know what must be done. Stop the foreigner get the job before the Bahamians. Because the truth of the matter is, we going to school in the U.S. too. We went to the same schools that they went to as well. Come on now. Let's go. We know what the issues are. Let's stop the foolishness. If we're going to help each other, then let's just do the job and stop BSing the people. With that note, thank you, Mr. Shea. Thank you, Paradise Abaco. We'll be here next week.